Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. God bless you. You are tuning in here today to God's frequency. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. His word is going to be in the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 3. Really, we're looking at two things the Apostle Paul's talking about here today. We're looking at the group of people that don't do what he said. He calls them the enemies of the cross. And for you and I, we are to strive like he did after these things. He encouraged us to strive like he did. That is, to not to have our own righteousness, which is according to the law, meaning that you and I shouldn't be trying to keep rules to be right with God. That doesn't make us right with you. We're right with God by our faith and faith alone, not by keeping rules. So Paul didn't want to be found. That's what started this, verse 9. To be found in him. Paul wanted to be found not having his own righteousness, but he wanted to be found loving and serving the Lord out of his love and deep gratitude for what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross, for dying for him and redeeming him. We read his testimony where he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And because of that, he dedicated the rest of his life to serving him. And he is encouraging us in this letter for us to do the same thing. Now here this Sunday morning, I'm going to preach something I've been sitting on for 3 months, waiting on the right time. And really, it's an answer to the inquiry that really so many Christians might think in their head but are afraid to ask. And that is, why all the gays and transvestites out here in the world today? I've got an answer to that according to the Word of God. That's where we're going to be at here this Sunday. You'll hear it on the radio next week. You can come to church in person, Island Community Church, Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, you have to look at this in light of Matthew chapter 24, which is, what'll be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Put a colon there and add this to that loop, to that lot of earthquakes, famines, pestilence, a love of many growing cold. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you. You will be delivered. Add to that this, men and women given over. That is another sign. It belongs in Matthew chapter 24 of what'll be the signs of your coming. So we're in Romans chapter 1. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. You are invited. Once again, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, is Island Community Church. 10:30 this Sunday morning. If you aren't around here or don't live around here, you can watch it live on Facebook. On the Island Community Church Facebook page. That'll turn on live right around 10:35 this Sunday morning. Also, the sermon will be uploaded on the YouTube, at least for as long as it lasts on there before they take it down. You can find it on YouTube on the Island Community Church YouTube channel. So again, that's what's going on this Sunday, and you'll hear that on the radio here coming up probably Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So, okay, let's get back into the Word. Now, this is part two of this message. Citizen or alien?
You can't change venues or judges. Now, speaking of judges, in this courtroom, the judge in this case is Almighty God. And upon your confession of faith in this courtroom, these two things will happen to you. Number one, you'll be made right with God. Right on. Number two, I would say down goes the gavel, but this one won't do. Time to get out Mongo. Meet Mongo. Down will go the gavel, and from the judge, out'll come those words that your soul has longed to hear since eternity past. And those words are, not guilty. By the judge. That's good news. God is the judge. And the last courtroom lingo word would be double jeopardy. Hebrews 8:12, God speaking, he said, quote, "For I will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more," unquote. You will never be tried twice for the same crime. Come to think of it, if you're not tried twice, then you were forgiven once. That was the great revelation I got this morning, getting ready for this. If you're not tried twice, then you're forgiven once. God forgives you of your sins, and your sins, he says, I will remember no more. He won't bring it up again. That's a lie from the devil that God is going to bring up your sin. He is the one that brings these things up to your remembrance, not God. God doesn't remember them. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been forgiven of your sins. God has taken his gavel and slammed that gavel down about you, over you, and has said, not guilty. Remember, God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their trespasses against us. That's good news. Now, back to Philippians chapter 3. Just want to explain, you know, for you guys wonder what this thing is for. Is it for crowning you over the head when you fall asleep? No. It's to show you, anytime you read the word justify in the Bible, it's a legal word like these other ones are. Double jeopardy, guilty, not guilty. But when you read justified, it always applies to God because he's the only one that can do it. And when you are justified, and the word righteous and justify is the same Greek word. It means God has officially received you and has pardoned you for your sins because of the man in the glory and what he did on your behalf by dying in your place. Okay, now, Philippians 3. But by the way, all that can't happen to you. All that can't happen by you keeping rules. The gavel goes down on your behalf because of your faith, not because what kind of day that you had, or by keeping rules. Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have peace, and that's to be right with your maker. And that does not come through you putting money in that offering plate when that made its way around. It comes from faith and faith alone. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Are you longing for peace this morning? There's only one way to have it. You can't do things in the flesh to get it. You can't divorce your spouse to get it. You can't go buy a new boat, a big old boat to do it. You can't do things in the flesh. You'll always be looking for peace. The only way to have it is to be right with him. Then you can sleep at night. Now, let's try again, Philippians chapter 3. And the things that mattered most to him. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now that's where we left off last week. Let's get started on this sermon here today. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, what a great promise that is. You're not alone. Paul's hoping was that he may lay hold of Christ, but even better news is that Christ has laid hold of you. And he will never let go. He's not wishy-washy like we are. When he gets a hold of you, he doesn't let go. That is good news. And remember, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning his hold on you is not dependent on works. It's dependent on faith. He's never going to let go. John 17, 12, it says, this is the Lord Jesus praying to his Father. He said, those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. So these are the kind of things Paul's striving for. And for those of you who are discouraged, who think that you're nowhere there yet like he was, or if you feel like you're a mess, or if you feel like you always fail, be of good cheer. You're not alone. Look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Meaning he's not, even the apostle's not there yet. He still wrestles with these things. He said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. All right, actually, Paul, that's two things, not one. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Not so much talking about other people and those who have done you wrong, but you, yourself, your failures. All those things in your life that you're not proud of. Or all those things that you've failed at, or just plain missed the mark, or wish that you could have back. Maybe words that you said to someone else that you can't take back. He's instructing you, forget those things, move on. Someone else in this church was telling me this morning how they first made things right with someone. And then once they did that, then God just opened up the floodgates of heaven. Isn't that right? Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Church, put your past behind you. You can't change it. And number two, reaching forward. Actually, the word means straining forward to your future. That's just slightly out of your grasp right now. Reminds me of that crazy squirrel in those Ice Age movies. Striving after that acorn. I just can't quite reach it. You guys know who I'm talking about? That crazy squirrel. All throughout the movie, he's straining for something that he just can't reach. That ought to be what you and I are doing. Straining for what's ahead, for the future, for what God has for you out here. Strain, stretch for it. Don't be complacent. Stretch for it. Strain for what God has for you. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's when God says to you, come on up, baby. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Where it says, come up here. Come up here. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Meaning if you're not there yet, don't worry. He'll help you with it. And if you're new to the faith and you might not have learned yet how faithful God has been to you and how faithful he will be to you every day of your life. There's a whole lot of people in this church that'll give testimony or two about the faithfulness of God. And how striving after these things that Paul strove after is a worthwhile goal in your life. Those who are mature, he said, have this mind. Those who are mature, let Jesus redeem their past. You've been set free from your past. Those that are mature, he says, have this mindset. God's been good to me. Look at everything he has forgiven me of. I'm going to move past this hurt that this person has done to me. I've been hurt many times. We just got to put it behind us. Remember, I think it's 1 Peter 5:6. I could be wrong, but he says, humble yourself. 1 Peter 5:7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Put it behind you. Those that are mature have this mind. And then he says, even if you don't worry. He's still going to help you. If you think otherwise, God will reveal even this, the text says, even this to you. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Meaning, try to strive for righteousness like I do, is what he's saying. And don't follow after those other guys out here in the world that don't. Verse 18, he says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you weeping. He's crying over this. Now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now, Paul calls everyone that does not at least strive after these things he's laid out in this chapter, he calls them the enemies of the cross. Everyone out here today that tries to live another way other than the road that goes through the cross of Jesus Christ are the enemies of that cross. Number one, it said, whose end is destruction, meaning this will not end well for you. Number two, whose God is their appetites, what he means by that. And number three, who boast in shameful things that they do. That's kind of like what you see all around the world today, isn't it? They glory or their boasting is in their shame. Turn the television on. You can't miss it. Meaning their evil lifestyle. All these transvestites out here in the world today and all the sexual perversion, those are the very things in which they boast about. Have you noticed that? I've never heard a transvestite boast in his 401k. Or in his options of Tesla that he had. Why don't they boast in that? They glory in their shame. How prophetic is this? Like Gloria Steinem, who wears a t-shirt that joyfully declares, oh, I've had an abortion, with a big smile on her face and a smiling, cheerful shirt. You see, that is glorying in your shame. And your end for that is going to be destruction. Remember what the Bible says. It says, do not be deceived. In other words, don't kid yourself, because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman sow, this shall they also reap. God's not going to be mocked in this. Judgment is coming. Payback is coming. They glory in their shame. And in stark contrast to you, who have been declared not guilty in God's courtroom, these people are the enemies of the cross, and Satan's charge against them will hold up in court. Now, in my sermon next Sunday, we're going to look at this phenomenon that's transforming the countryside, and I want you to see why there are so many enemies of the cross who are front and center in the news today. I've been pushing this sermon off for 3 months, and we're finally going to hear it next week. First, it was going to be Mother's Day. And I said, you know, this church will kill me if I preach this on Mother's Day. You hear that, and the man, they'll give you flowers on the way out. And now, with all my rotten luck, next week's Father's Day. Too bad. I'm not changing it again. Lord wants me to preach this next week. Maybe he's looking for the fathers and a few good men to stand up and be counted. Maybe that's why he's kept pushing this off to Father. I don't know. I just do what I'm told, what I'm led to do. Now, in stark contrast, lastly, I say, in stark contrast to the enemies of the cross and those living their best life now, like Joel Osteen would say, is us. Verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Greek word politeuma, where guess what our word is? Politics. Now there's your Senate. And there is your true House of Representatives. Our citizenship, my politics exists up in heaven. How about you? Our citizenship is in heaven, one in which is not evil and crooked and hopelessly corrupt and broken. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which, it says, we eagerly await. The King James says we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This ought to be our mindset here today, church. Like your child on Christmas Eve, eagerly awaiting Christmas, you and I should be eagerly awaiting our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, this promise of what he will do when he comes starts with the words, who will? Meaning you can take this to the bank. It said, who will transform our lowly body. King James has the word vile. Anyone here with a vile body this morning? That's encouraging, isn't it? When you find that your body is now vile, never fear. He's still going to transform it. Who will transform our vile body so that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus is going to transform your body. The Greek word metaschema, it means change appearance. You're going to be like him coming up here soon. Your body will conform to his body. That's good news. 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery, meaning no one's ever heard this before. It's not in the Old Testament. Even the 12 didn't know this. He said, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? Dink. A twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will all be changed. So allow me to probe. Where do you hang your hat this morning? What's in your wallet? What's stamped on your passport? Are you a citizen or an illegal alien? I love that verse out of Hebrews I put on the handout. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners or aliens. That's a big Democrat word. That's a xeno. Oh, you're a xenophobe. You remember all that muck? Oh, xenophobe. Hater of aliens or foreigners. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So, are you a citizen or an illegal alien? Where do you want to be found? Not just if and when you die, but right here and now. If he comes back right now, where do you want to be found? In him. Paul strove for that, and he was an apostle. You would think if anyone had it made and wouldn't have to worry about where he was going to be found, it was him. But he made this his drive and his ambition to be found in him. But where do you want to be found? Inside of the kingdom of God or an illegal alien? An enemy of the cross on the outside peering in. Now, the Lord Jesus said, he said, many will try to get in and will not be able. Many will try to get in. There's going to be a lot of kicking and screaming to try to get into this kingdom, but there's only one way to get in, and that is through the Son. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to get on the inside of this. So, have you been elected to God's House of Representatives? For our citizenship exists in heaven.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Together wonderful to